We will briefly open our Bibles and read about the resurrection. One passage that we already have heard read today, and a couple other ones that give a little bit more of a glimpse. And as you know, the resurrection is written in all four Gospels of the Bible, and every account tells us of the resurrection, yet it tells from a slightly different perspective and a slightly different angle. And so we'll read three of the four today very briefly and talk about a unique aspect, because there's just so much that you can talk about the resurrection. So many hours could be spent studying and talking about it. But today I briefly wanted to call to your attention three aspects of a response that the disciples had once they heard of the resurrection. So that's what we'll look at. And I know and believe that there's myriads and myriads, not just the three that I will highlight. But today I want to look at just the three aspects of a response that disciples had to the resurrection. And so with that, as you know, and before we jump and read the story, the resurrection happened, and what were the disciples? They were gathered somewhere together, and they got a knock at the door. As you might recall, Mary Magdalene went to tell them. They heard the news that changed their lives, news that continued to change the life, because that started out when they first started walking with Christ. But that news, they were not expecting. Though they should have been expecting, they were not expecting. And that news gave them hope. The news, obviously, of the resurrection. And so let's read the story. Let's read exactly what it is that they heard, what news was brought to them, and see the three aspects of their response that I mentioned that I'd like you to briefly look at. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter of Matthew, and read the first seven verses, it tells us of how Mary found out of the resurrection. It says the following, Matthew 28, 1 through 7. Now after Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Now imagine that. What a sight to behold that was. An angel, that heavenly being, heavenly beast, sitting on a rock. We read on, verse 3, his countenance was like of lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And still angel is speaking to the women. He says, go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. So we read of the encounter that the women had with the angel. Angel tells them that Christ is risen and instructs them to go and tell the disciples. Let's pick up the story if you flip forward to Luke 24, 9 through 12. As you go there, we pick up the story where the women already go and start telling the disciples. And the following happens there. Luke 24, verse 9 through 12. Luke 24, 9 through 12 says the following. And then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11, 11 being the disciples, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women. So those are the women returned and they told him, who told these things to the apostles. And look at verse 11, fascinating. And their words seemed to them, the them here, meaning the disciples, the men, their words seemed to the men idle, like idle tales, it says, and they did not believe them. And in verse 12, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stopping down, he saw the linen cloth laying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at to what had happened. So here in this passage, we saw that the women told the disciples, told the man. And the first reaction of disciples, as we saw here, was actually disbelief. disbelief. And let's go on to the book of John, chapter 20, verses 3 through 10, which yet and still yet continue with the story as to what happened to the disciples and Peter once they heard and once they had the initial reaction of disbelief. And John chapter 20, verses 3 through 10 say the following. So Peter, therefore, after they have heard the news, after they had the reaction of disbelief, Peter, after all that, therefore went out, and other disciple, meaning John, were going to the tomb. So they went to the tomb. So they both, look, ran together. They ran, grown men, ran together to the tomb. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth laying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth laying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head not laying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, meaning John, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. And for as yet they did not know the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. And look at verse 10. After all that, the disciples went away going to their own homes. They went away going to their own homes once they saw, and it says they believed. But look forward a little bit. They went home. It says there in verse 10, as we just read, they went home to their own homes. But later on, they gathered with the rest of the disciples. And as you look and just skip forward, if you have your Bibles open to verse 19 and 20, we know that they were gathered together. We know that they must have been talking about this miracle, this unbelievable thing that had happened. That even earlier in the day, their response was that this cannot be. They must have been talking about that. They were all gathered. And look in verse 19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad. Oh, they were so glad when they saw the Lord. And I'll stop right there. So as we look at the story, as it spans all four Gospels, and today we only looked at three. Again, there's so much that we can talk about here, but I wanted us to hone in and to highlight just three aspects of the response of the disciples. We won't spend time looking at the women, though they deserve all the time in the world to be looked at, for they have an awesome example as well. But in the interest of time, we'll look at the response of the disciples first. And I would categorize it really just into three categories. As we read in Matthew and in Luke, when the women first told the disciples, what was their response? Their response was that of disbelief. And as we are sitting here, and as we think of our own life and conversion and walk, and perhaps some of you are here, are doubters and are doubtful of this wonderful news that we are hearing today. And I wanted for us to remember and recall and to mention that if you find yourself in that category, that's actually okay, because the disciples, the 11 guys who were walking with him day in and day out for 3 years, their first response was of disbelief as well. However, the first aspect of their response, they were compelled by the possibility and the thought that it all could be true. They were disbelieving first, but they didn't just discard it. Know that Peter and John and the rest, they ran, they pursued, they were compelled. The first reaction would be they were compelled by the possibility. And so that is so crucial and important. So many others could have, just hearing the news, discarded the news. As you yourself perhaps watch the news and you hear things that you don't find believable, how often do we just hear something and we discard it? Yet we see that the disciples, they were compelled to follow up and to research for themselves. As we already read in Luke 24:11, you saw that the first reaction was that these words sounded like idle tales to them and they did not believe. But they were compelled. Why do I say that? Because they must have thought of so many scriptural verses that we know in Job, in Psalms, in the books of Moses, where the resurrection is mentioned. For example, think of Abraham himself, and he talked about believing in resurrection of Isaac. Job mentioned it. David mentioned as well, from his body being saved from Sheol. And then, of course, Jesus himself raised Lazarus from the dead, and they witnessed that. And so though the first reaction was that of disbelief, they were compelled to believe. They were compelled to follow up and to find out and to learn, to see for themselves. Again, because they saw Jesus resurrect others, Lazarus mainly, and they heard Jesus talk about his own resurrection, talk about his death multiple times. So that's the first aspect of response, again, is being compelled. Though there was disbelief initially, but is there compilation in our lives as well? Sometimes we read, we see something that we don't understand. It happens in my life, and if I was to venture to say, it probably happens in the life of every Christian. You read something and you just don't get it. Do you give up and walk away? Or are you compelled to dig a little bit deeper and trust the Savior like they did and find out for themselves? The disciples were compelled. That's the first aspect of the response. The second aspect of the response I wanted to highlight is that they were confronted with the evidence. So they followed through and they pursued, they sought after that evidence that I already mentioned. They were confronted with the evidence. And what do I mean by that? As we read in John, the third passage where we stopped, you saw that Peter ran and John ran. Now, we don't know how old those men were, but they were running, and they were not sprinters or runners. Let me mind you those. They were fishermen. And I don't know, last time you saw a fisherman run. I haven't seen fishermen run too much. I myself don't run that often either. But let's keep that between you and I. So they were running. What does that mean? That meant that they took the news very seriously, and they wanted to see and find out for themselves as soon as possible. And so what is that evidence that they were confronted with? Again, that's the second aspect of their response, confronting the evidence. What did they see? What was there? Well, what wasn't in the tomb when they got there? The body of Christ was not there. What was there? As they saw, they just saw linens wrapped up. So that's the evidence that they saw. They also heard the evidence and the testimony of the women. As we were reading from Matthew and Luke, we read briefly, the angel appeared to the women and he spoke to the women. And that is the evidence that was being recounted to the disciples. And they took all of that under consideration. Also, again, as we mentioned, they must have thought and remembered the various passages and the testimony from both the Mosaic Law, the Old Testament, the prophets, and the Christ himself that multiple times quoted to him and gave him scriptures, so the testimony of the scriptures. And so we ought to ask ourselves as well, how are we being confronted? How are we seeking out after the evidence? Because it is all there. You know, I'm not a believer in blind faith, or, you know, in the English language, there is a term that's called blind faith. And as a matter of fact, it was used in conversation the other day that I was having with one of my coworkers, and he said, you know, something to the extent of, you know, I like how some of these Christians, they have blind faith. And, you know, I reject that concept, because we and all of you are not to have blind faith. Jesus provided massive evidence, and he said exactly what he was going to do, and he did it. And we have an account. We have a true and a historic account written in the books of the Gospels that has only been confirmed by historical evidence over and over again. So it's not that we have this blind faith. We have as Bodhi Bakum says when people ask him, why you believe in the Bible? I like his phrase, and I'll read to you what he says. He says, I believe the Bible. Why? Because it is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses that reported supernatural events that took place to fulfill specific prophecies that claims that the writings were divine rather than human in origin. That's not blind faith, my brothers and sisters. Disciples also did not take the word of the women just at the face value. They went. They checked it out for themselves. They saw the empty tomb. And as you saw over there at the end of Luke 24, 9 through 12, it says that once they saw, they believed. Once, actually, this reference is specifically only to John. It says, once John saw, he believed. So, confronting and seeking after the evidence is a great thing. It is what we are called to do. And that evidence, as I mentioned, is written and on the pages of the Word of God that He left for us through His men of God that wrote down all of these accounts. Why did they write them down? Because they were the eyewitnesses. They wrote them down in the presence of other eyewitnesses. They could not have made it up. And like I said, all the historical digging that happens, all the digs only confirm the validity of the Bible. And there hasn't been one to disprove the claims of the Bible. And so how does that relate to us? And as we look at the three aspects of the response that I'm highlighting, are we compelled to seek for ourselves? I hope that we are. Are we confronting and re-seeking out this Word of God and the evidence? I hope that we are as well, because we see the disciples doing that. And then lastly, the last and final third aspect of the response is that they were comforted by the presence of the Lord. They were comforted by the resurrection. And we saw that in the last two verses we read in John chapter 20, 19 and 20. The disciples went, they sought after, they saw that he wasn't there. They already believed, they realized that he wasn't there, so he must have arisen. They came to that conclusion, yet they were by themselves. They were alone. They were still outside of his presence. And we see that because they were gathered with closed doors, obviously there was danger in place. They were concerned for their own safety. If you were to boil it down, you could say that they were scared, and understandably so. But as we read, look what happened in verse 19 and 20. John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. It says that that same day when they were there behind locked doors, it says that Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. What wonderful words. He says, peace be with you. He provides that comfort and he gives that security that all of us human beings are so hungry and thirsty for in our pursuits of this life. And only He can provide the fulfillment and the fullness of that comfort. And so they loved Him, as we see, because they gathered. They were now believing in Him. They loved Him. They no longer doubted Him. They were still in fear. There must have been some sadness there as well. And he came to them and he said, peace be with you, as we read. What wonderful and comforting words. And when he said that, look in the following verse, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples, look what it says, they were glad when they saw the Lord. So they were glad. It was like the cherry on top. Finally, after hearing the news, after confirming for themselves that he was no longer in the tomb, that he resurrected, but still being somewhere, not with them, they were all together in the room. He showed himself to them, and it says that finally, they were oh so glad that they were with the Lord. So that level of comfort, as we can see, finally, though it's still raging outside, and though the Jews are still looking for them, the doors weren't open, as we saw. The doors were not opened yet, but they had that comfort and gladness. And so thirdly, how does that relate to us? Where do we, and where do you and I, we find our comfort in this world and as we hear the resurrection? And I hope that it is in the resurrected
Christ and the resurrected Lord our Savior.
Amen.